This is chapter 9 of the book Why Bother with Jesus by Michael Green. It has 12 short chapters and about 70 pages in total. This is chapter 9, Bother Because He Can Change Your Life. The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus does not end with the first century. Indeed, one of the most remarkable proofs of its truth is this. Unlike most historical events, which become more uncertain the further you are from them, the conviction that Jesus rose and is alive has grown down the centuries. Now you can meet not a Peter, a John, a Paul, and perhaps 500 Christians who could assure you that he is alive and in business, but millions all over the world. They can do so partly because of the historical evidence, but mainly because they know him. Not know about him, mind you, know him. There's a world of difference between the two. When I know about someone, he's just a flat, historical figure to me, whether he's alive today or whether he lived long ago. But he springs into three dimensions the moment I get to know him. First, we are introduced. Then we spend time together. Then we become friends. Then we get to know one another in depth. Change in others. It is rather like that with Jesus. For years I knew about him in a flat, historical sort of way. And then one day I came to see that if he rose from the grave, which I vaguely believed, he was alive, available, and I could come to know him. So I asked him to make himself real to me. I ask him to become my friend, my intimate. I ask him to set to work changing me by his transforming friendship into what I ought to be. From that day onward, and it's more than 30 years ago, this is Michael Green talking, I can honestly say that I do not just know about Jesus, I know him. In one way, things haven't changed much since he walked this earth. Then he used to change men's lives as they came into close contact with him. Think of James and John, those sons of thunder, as they were nicknamed, hot-tempered and bloodthirsty couple that they were. And then read the first letter of John and see the love of Christ simply flowing from him. You will appreciate what a genius Jesus was at changing character for the better. In one way, things haven't changed much since he walked this earth. Then he used to change men's lives as they came into close contact with him. Think of James and John, those sons of thunder as they were nicknamed, hot-tempered and bloodthirsty couple that they were. And then read the first letter of John and see the love of Christ simply flowing from it. You will appreciate what a genius Jesus was at changing character for the better. Or look at Mary of Magdala, not only a prostitute, but possessed by demons. She has been deep into the occult. Jesus changed her whole life. She became pure and loving. An absolutely devout, devoted follower of his, and first witness of the resurrection. Or think of James and Jude, two of the brothers of Jesus, who did not think much of their famous brother while he was around, but came to discover who he was after the resurrection, and both wrote letters in the New Testament declaring themselves his slaves. That life-changing pattern continued once Jesus left this earth, and his spirit came to live inside the hearts and lives of believers. The spirit enabled Jesus to do in many lives what he could do. During his lifetime, only in the few that he met transformed them. Indeed, the whole purpose of the Spirit in the lives of Christians is to make them like Jesus. He gradually changes us into Christ's likeness as we live close to him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is a wonderful verse about this. The change in the early Christians is striking. They were not nice, respectable folk who enjoyed going to church on Sunday. They were immoral, idolaters, adulterers, sexual perverts, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, robbers. Such were some of you, writes Paul, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is the supreme glory of Jesus. Taking lives that have been spoiled by selfishness and sin and transforming them so that they begin to shine with light borrowed from his own character. That is what the Christian life is all about. The living, risen Jesus still changes lives. Think of some of the well-known people of our day. Sportsmen and women, rock stars, media celebrities, among those who have discovered that Jesus is alive and well. Many members of parliament, congressmen, cabinet ministers freely acknowledge that faith in Jesus has been the most life-changing factor in their whole career. Others courageously follow Jesus Christ in the highly professional world of soccer or pop music. It shows in their speech and behavior. Change in you. But it is not just the well-known people that Jesus is interested in. I think of a lovely man I know, a laborer, who found Jesus when he was in prison. So did his wife while waiting for him to come out. It made a big difference. Prison reminds me of another ex-con, a car thief whom I know well. He found Christ while in Reading jail. Guess what he's doing now? He's a vicar. I think of the scores and scores of agnostic students each year in Oxford, where I used to work, who came to find in Jesus Christ a living, challenging friend and guide. And you can always notice the difference he makes. A new joy, a new concern for other people, a new ability to break with bad habits, a new delight in prayer, a love of the company of other friends of Jesus, an unselfishness that was not there before. It does not matter what background people come from. I think at the moment of a cultured Japanese, a rich Muslim from Turkey, a gentle Hindu, a gangster in prison for life, a prostitute, many middle-class kids, a carpenter, an able Jew. Jesus has made room for all of them. He is the man for all seasons and the man for all types. Because he is alive, you can talk to him. Once you have been introduced, you can enjoy his company, and that makes such a difference to the loneliness which comes to all of us from time to time. I am with you always, is his promise, Matthew 28 verse 20. Because he is alive, you can ask him for his help when the pressures are on and when temptation seems irresistible. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, says the good book, 1 John 4 verse 4. And it's true. You can prove it for yourself. Just say, Lord, help me, and he will. Because he is alive, you can come back to him when you've done something you could kick yourself for. You can say, I've been a fool, so sorry. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. Because he is alive, you can meet him in the lives of other Christians and recognize the changes he is making there. Rejoice in them and learn from them. Because he is alive, you can entrust your job, your marriage, your future to him. As Peter puts it with admirable simplicity, throw all your worries on him, for it matters to him about you. 1 Peter 5:7. Second last paragraph. Because he is alive, even retirement and old age need not terrify you. You need never retire from his employment. He will not scrap you when you are grey-headed. And when one day you have to die, he will whisper to you, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Living with Jesus like this cannot fail to transform your life. And isn't that what you really want, at any rate in your better moments? Then what's all this about? Why bother with Jesus? He is the very one you need if you are going to be the man or woman you could be and were meant to be. Don't turn down the chance of a lifetime.